Hi, this is Jim Brickman.
This is Perry Como.
I'm Olivia Rocks.
This is Alvin of the Chipmunks.
We're the Supremes, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You're listening to the Sounds of Christmas
podcast. Welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. I'm Ken Kessler. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I am very excited to have Dave and April from the Christian rock band Critical Mass on the podcast today. Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
We are fine. We're not too cold. We're from Canada, so we're waiting for the blizzards to hit.
If it's not there yet, it will be soon.
Exactly.
Just in time for Christmas, I hope.
Have you both been with Critical Mass since the beginning?
So I've been with the band right from its inception in 1997, and so that's a long time. So that kind of gives you how old I am. But April, when did you join?
Just recently, actually. So I've been a musician all my life, and I we'll get into a little bit this later on, but I met David through music. And was very excited that he did have a band. And I knew of David before we met, actually, because of the band. So was, very happy to join David in life and in music at the same time.
Very cool. Okay. So, April, don't be offended, but a lot of these early questions are going to be for Dave because he was with the band so long before you came along.
No worries.
Okay. No. So the first album, Faith Looks Up, Best International Group and Best Modern Rock Alternative Album from the United Catholic Music and Video Association. How cool is that, that right out of the gate, you get some recognition? That must have felt great.
That was surreal because we had just recorded it as a demo just for fun. It was just 8 songs. And then we put it out there and it ended up selling like hotcakes and caught the attention of a lot of people. Totally unexpected. We were a little concerned because it was a demo recording, but we had Ron Roy, a local producer. He did a very good job for us. And from there, we got some positive reviews in the paper, which helped. And it was just so exciting to see our music because our music wasn't necessarily explicitly, you know, of Christian in every song. There's a couple other songs that were, talking about life, right? And so it was really cool to see us get that recognition.
I almost introduced you as from Critical Mass and was just going to mention that it was a rock band because sometimes that has a different connotation as a Christian music group. And a lot of your stuff is just accessible to everybody. It's not, you know, polarizing or for one specific group. So I wasn't sure if that, you know, the music business loves to put labels on stuff and put you in a box. And I wasn't sure about that. But you get recognized, you get these awards from the first album, and you turn around with the next one completely. And it's Best Album of the Year at the Canadian Gospel Music Association's Covenant Awards. And your song Humility was a finalist for Rock Song of the Year as well. Wow. 2 back-to-back huge things right out of the gate.
Yeah, that surprised us. We switched producers, and Andrew Horrocks has been the producer for our music ever since that second album. That really shocked us that we got those honors. In fact, when we were nominated, we had to look up, who did we get nominated for? And then we realized it's the Canadian equivalent of the Dove Awards. And we were quite surprised. And so yeah, we got quite a bit of publicity from that. What's really interesting, and this has been a blessing and a curse for us throughout, in that our music, because it's not explicitly Christian radio, and people who are in Christian radio probably know what I'm talking about. Their demographic is soccer moms. And so we don't fit that kind of mold. We write from our personal experiences. We might write love songs. We might write songs about life in general. And so, yeah, so we were really pleased that the Canadian Gospel Music Association would actually give us this award, because it was a very atypical album.
Well, and was Grasping for Hope in the Darkness, was that the next album?
That was the next album. And that was a, I love Pink Floyd. I love concept albums. I mean, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was a defining moment in my, you know, listening history, because once I heard the Beatles do that, it was like, I want to find as many concept albums as possible. And Grasping for Hope in the Darkness is the concept album. It's got a storyline that goes throughout. It's got all the little ear candy in between to move the story along. And so, yeah, and it was very, very, we did a cover of Carry On My Wayward Son, which is actually nominated for Best Rock Song that year. And what was really cool is Kerry Livgren actually reached out through his agent to say that he heard the song and liked it, which for me was like, whoa, that was nice. That was almost as good as any honor I could get. Like, you know, their songwriter from Kansas reaching out was so cool.
Yeah. And that album also won Best Rock Album at the Covenant Awards. And between that album and the previous one, Completely, you played for Pope John Paul II. How did that happen?
So I'm a bit of a marketer, and I sent my press kit to everyone I knew that was associated. I knew the Pope was coming to Toronto in 2002, and I sent press kits to everybody I knew that was associated with the project. And finally, the artistic director called me, and he said, this is great. I want to interview you to see if your band would be willing to play, but could you do me a small favor? Can you stop sending press kits? Because I've got 7 on my desk right now and they keep coming in. And so it was persistence and networking, and we got in, and that was, I still to this day remember, you know, standing on stage, especially at this in Toronto at the CND when the Pope first came, in front of 400,000 people, and then at the papal vigil, you know, 600,000. It's pretty, yeah, I can almost hear and smell that whole experience. It's so cool. It's just, it totally blows your mind to be in front of that many people.
Yeah, I can't even, I have no frame of reference for that. The best I've done is been able to see the Pope on TV, and that's, I just can't imagine actually not just being there, but performing. Wow.
It was nerve-wracking as well too, because at the final event at the vigil, there was 600,000 people spread over 1.5 kilometers. And so you knew that if you made a mistake, it was 1.5 kilometers of people. I heard you make that mistake.
Oh, wow. International Group of the Year from the United Catholic Music and Video Association a couple years later. Nominated for 6 United Catholic Music and Video Association Awards for Celebrate, your live album. After that, does there come a point where you don't get necessarily jaded by all the nominations and all the awards, but does it get to the point where you're like, I don't know where we go next?
Yeah, actually, after we played for the Pope, we lost every single member of the band except for me, because they figured, where do we go from here? And so I ended up being the only person that continued on after 2000. And I've always wanted, every single one of our albums has a storyline and a theme around it. So when I write almost for myself initially. I look at what I'm experiencing and what I wanted to write about. So, you know, there's an album that's about theology, Pope John Paul's II Theology of the Body. The whole album is about that. And then the last album from a couple of years ago, Serenity, is actually about my experience going through a divorce and separation. And so it's a concept album wrapped around my story, and actually April's story as well. That's where she comes into the picture.
Hey, April, welcome back.
And what a great segue. We didn't even plan that, did we, Ken?
Yeah. I've been to your YouTube channel. And you've got some amazing videos on there. And I saw the video of Here Comes the Sun. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. That this is something, I don't want to tell the story. You should tell the story. How this came to be.
Well, I've always loved the Beatles. And I wanted to do a song to end our album. Serenity is sort of our journey from when the divorce happened to when I met April. There's a song called April Rain on it. And the whole album culminates with Here Comes the Sun. And we just thought, wouldn't it be nice to have a video? Because I'm a videographer on the side as well. I shoot music videos. I just thought, wouldn't it be nice if we took our reception and actually created a music video around that?
Wedding reception.
Yep. Yeah. And so, it was a culmination of a beautiful love story.
Yeah. So that was our send off at the end of the reception, just before David and I headed off. And we had anyone who was left in the room singing and sending us off as well together. So it was really, really exciting way to end a very special day.
It was.
So April, you were on board with this knowing that this was going to be essentially a music video for the band.
Yeah, I didn't think much of it because our whole coming together, our getting married was a celebration, a long-awaited one with many trials and tribulations. And so I just saw it as a culmination, and it didn't end there, by the way. It continued into our honeymoon, where we videotaped a lot of the footage in Mexico for the song I'll Be Fine, which is also on the Serenity album. So that was a lot of fun, and allowed us to write off a portion of our honeymoon too.
I'm laughing because when I told my producer, Andrew Horrocks, he looked at me and he goes, only you would shoot a video on your honeymoon and write it off.
Yeah.
And I hope
we both work hard and play hard. We're a good match.
That's very good to hear and very obvious from watching the video. I wasn't trying to slight it as that the whole thing was just a music video, but I thought that you had to be in 100% in not just the relationship, but the band and everything to really agree to that. And I just think it's great. And I hope I'm going to put a link in the show notes to your YouTube channel so everybody can go check this out, because it syncs up perfectly with the song. And it's a little Hallmark movie almost.
Oh, no.
I'm going to tell you a little catch to the plot here, though, because this is the fun part. So it goes both ways, you see. I agreed to that and to the singing together for the video. David agreed to make our first dance a swing dance. And boy, was he nervous. I introduced him to dancing, which is my big area in addition to music. And David got involved with swing dancing a few years before. We took private lessons and he got out there and we made a video of that too. That was my idea.
So I always laugh, you know, I'm Asian and I always laugh that, you know, I'm Chinese, but the Filipinos got all the rhythm and all the, you know, you look at all the singing shows, it's always, they're from the Philippines. And so I have three left feet. So it was absolutely nerve-wracking. But I've now gotten to the point, so when we do our shows now, and they are really shows, they're a combination of music. I also have my videos. I have custom videos for every single song, but we also incorporate dance. So, and April's kind of in charge of that. And I have to learn how to dance and sing.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Yeah. I used to play drums, and trying to do anything else at the same time was a challenge.
Yes.
Just say a challenge.
Yeah.
So you've got this, all this history of the band, but Christmas Is Real, the new album, is the first Christmas release that you've done. How did you come to decide that it was time to do a Christmas album?
I've always loved Christmas music. I have such a passion for it. In fact, we have a song called Joy to the World, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, which we mashed together, which some people go like, one's in a major key, one's in a minor key. How does that work? But we actually did the demo for that from 2001. And then that sat on my computer in a demo form for 22 years. That's how long a Christmas album has been sitting and percolating in the back of my head. And every time I used to sing a song at church, I'd be thinking, oh, that would be a good song to put on a Christmas album. So it's been there all this time. And Serenity was kind of the album from 2021, kind of marked sort of an end point, because it's got a storyline that has a happy ending. And actually, one of the interesting things is we're turning it into a musical. So we're working with some people to make it a musical. The script's been written already and everything. And one of the things, so it feels like there's a little bit of a completion of some part of Critical Mass. And then I thought, well, now might be the time to do my Christmas album, to fulfill my dream of taking all these songs that I've listened to or have had ideas about and actually record them.
One of the things I really like about Christmas is Real is that it's such a great mix of genres. And it's one of the things that I love about Christmas music, that you can have a pop song and a rock song and a ballad and maybe something gospely or something bluesy, and it all is fine and works together. It's hard to do that on a non-Christmas album without and get any radio airplay, get anything, because we're all conditioned to, okay, you're a Christian rock band, this is where you belong. And I know that you have been sort of fighting that for, I don't want to do the math, but since 1997. And now you've got this Christmas album and it works. You mentioned the Joy to the World, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, which opens the album. And I didn't count them up, but you've got a bunch of standards that everybody's going to know, even if they don't know them the way you did them. White Christmas, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Was there anything in particular? Were these just favorites, or was there some reason that you picked those?
I wanted to, every single one of our songs was either a little bit of a different arrangement. So some of our arrangements have been by Christian artists from the past that have been long forgotten. So our Oh Holy Night, In the Bleak Midwinter, there are variations on beautiful arrangements I've heard in the past. We also have some songs that are more in the jazz arena, like Have Yourself a Little Merry Little Christmas and White Christmas, which was a real stretch for me. I'm a rock singer. I've never done jazz before. And so it was every song I wanted to be, the way we approached every song was that every song had to be different. I didn't want to have anything that sounded like what had been done before. And so that was sort of our philosophy going in. Even the new original songs, everything had to be different thematically or musically from anything that you hear on the radio all the time.
You know, when you were talking about the performance for the Pope earlier, and you were talking about that it was nerve-wracking, one of the things that I always ask artists that record Oh Holy Night was, did you get that sort of feeling? Because so many amazing voices over the decades have recorded that, and it's and people are funny about that song because you have to get it right. Did any of that sort of enter in, or was this just one of your favorites and you were going to do it?
Well, the version on the album is so different from anything that's out there. It's more of a...
It's contemporary for sure. It's not like something you're going to hear in a traditional church. And I could say that being a church organist, it's a very different arrangement. I'd encourage you to listen to it. You'll see what I mean. Yeah. And so I think that makes it less intimidating because you're not actually trying to replicate the same genre. You're putting it in a new genre.
No longer competing against Josh Groban and, you know, Pavarotti and Julie Andrews, because it's got such a different feel to it.
Yeah.
Doing it that way, have you gotten any sort of feedback from people who are not happy that you tweaked it into something different?
So far, so good.
I'm not trying to plant that. Anybody who's listening, don't send them emails about that.
I have to say it is nerve-wracking though, because you are playing with fire. You know, people always say a good cover can't deviate too far or else people are going to be upset. And so far we haven't had that.
I just want to add too, like my not always to bring in family because they can be biased, but my mother is very particular about music. She's often criticizing the stuff that we're playing in our church, and she loves the old standards. but she actually really likes this version of O Holy Night. And I didn't think she would, because I thought she'd stay for the traditional. She's usually very much of a traditionalist. So there's one example of somebody that actually was positive.
It's funny. O Holy Night and Silent Night are both those kinds of songs that people just get weird about if you don't do them exactly how they're expecting them. I remember Dr. John did a very New Orleans jazz version of Silent Night, and it cooks. It's very cool, and it's one of those songs that it'll be playing and you realize you know all the words, but you don't know what the song is until it sort of just hits you. Oh my God, this is Silent Night. And I know he got a lot of flack for that, because it was a, you know, it was a dance hall suddenly kind of song. And no, Silent Night should only be played Christmas Eve at midnight mass.
Yeah.
But people are funny about that kind of thing. Do they know it's Christmas? That's one that you don't see a lot of covers of. What made you decide to do that?
I've always loved that song. A friend of mine showed me his version. We did a concert with him, and I love the fact that it was a solo artist, right? Even the covers that you see on YouTube, they're all done by on, you know, ensembles. And I thought, wow, this song actually, I think, works better with one single voice singing the message. And so that's why we did it. And we thought, you know, the one thing that I always thought odd about Do They Know It's Christmas is that it's about Africa, but it was all 80s, you know, production values.
Yeah.
And so on this version, I actually had a friend, Daryl Buchert, who teaches percussion at university. He pulled out authentic African instruments. So everything you hear there is played live, and it's their authentic African instruments that he recorded. So we wanted to get that flavor, right, of authenticity. And so just to give it a different sound. So it's very, very rhythmically based.
And then there's the title track, the original song, Christmas Is Real, which is contemplative. It's not a happy, holly, jolly Christmas kind of song, but I think it's one that a lot of people will connect with.
So we wrote that. That came out of my experiences going through some pretty tough times, you know, divorce, separation. Those first Christmases were tough, really tough. And I just wanted to write a song to acknowledge the fact that not everyone's Christmas is happy, but I don't want it to be a downer. I wanted to give some hope. And what I did was I related it to the fact that the very first Christmas, you know, way back 2000 years ago, it was really about people being oppressed politically, having to go to a different city to register themselves. The mother's carrying a child that's not the father's. They don't have a place to stay. They end up in a smelly old barn. And I remember going to a barn one time where they actually had a nativity scene. And my first thought was, oh my gosh, it does not smell good in here. There's animals in here. Okay. Right. And then looking at the feeding troughs and then thinking like, that's where they put baby Jesus. So I just wanted to kind of relate that this really moment in history that changed the course of mankind was actually not what we think now is Christmas, like lights, meals, wine, holly. And so that's how I wrote the song. I wanted to kind of relate the two and help people to realize, you know, even that first Christmas was not all glitz and glamour.
See, what I got out of it along the same lines is that sometimes it's tough, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a great song and a great message, especially at this time of year. There's so much of Jingle Bell Rock and Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. And I like those songs. I'm not nothing against those songs, but sometimes Christmas is tough for people, whether you have, I don't want to go down a litany of things of bad things that could happen to people, but you know, to hear a song where somebody else is telling you, I get it. I know it's hard, but there's hope and it's not always going to be like this. I think that's a great thing to be able to hear at this time of year. It makes you, even if you are alone, it makes you feel like you aren't really alone.
Yeah, thank you. That, you know what? You put it as succinctly as I've heard anyone put it. So thank you so much.
The message of hope.
Well, I have had my share of tough Christmases of being alone, and it's no fun, and it makes it, you know, when you see everybody else is, you know, a happy couple at the end of Love Actually or whatever, and you're not.
Yeah.
You're at home by yourself, microwaving whatever leftovers you have. That's your Christmas Eve dinner. And it's hard. And whatever's happened to you is tough that you're dealing with. But to hear a song that tells you that I get it. I know it's tough, but you know what? It's gonna be okay. I just think that's great. And I think it's going to give a lot of people who are having a tough time, who might be alone, some hope. And that's terrific. A song on here that's 180 degrees away from that, Hallmark Christmas. Was this inspired by anything real, or was this just an idea that you had?
I don't know, honey. What do you think?
I don't know.
So I've always... I always laugh because, you know, at Christmas time that we often talk about, you know, do you want to watch Die Hard? And she goes, no, well, how about a romantic comedy? And I go, Die Hard is actually a Christmas movie. And she goes, no, it's not.
And sometimes so, with the busyness of the season, you just want to turn your brain off. Yeah. And Hallmark movies are the best way to do that.
So I just thought nobody that I know of has written about the Hallmark Christmas movie. So I thought, again, this would be a great thing to do. Definitely a song that won't get on Christian radio, but but I had so much fun with it. We sat down, we thought, okay, what are all the stuff in Hallmark Christmas movies that are so formulaic? And I tried to put them all in the song.
It's a great Christmas meme of a song for anybody who knows a Hallmark movie and who has somebody in their life who either loves them or you're the one who loves them and they not so much. But it's a lot of fun. I don't want to go through every single song on here. I want people to be able to discover some things on their own. But and I've gone through most of them anyway. But I got to talk about Christmas Swinging because that's probably my favorite on there. I try not to have favorites. But I really like that. I like the feel of it. And it's different than anything else on the album. And it's a great, gives a great nod to all the greats. It's terrific.
Absolutely. I've always loved swing dance and April knows. Yeah. Probably right after Our Remembrance Day, which is November 11th, I want to play Christmas music. And one of the first ones I always pull out is Ellis, you know, Wishing You a Swinging Christmas. I just love that kind of that for me, swing music and Christmas, there's a kind of a connection together. And no one, you know, I don't think anyone's pointed that out. And I drew inspiration from Stevie Wonder's Sir Duke, where he, you know, that particular song, you know, Sir Duke is Duke of, you know, Duke Ellington. And in the song, he throws back and gives tribute to all of these wonderful artists of the past. And I thought, that's what I want to do. But I also want to kind of talk about some of the, you know, the artists of today, respectfully, but saying that, you know, that's not all I want to hear. So I actually do talk about Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You being played on the radio, and also, you know, White Christmas. But I try to do it in a respectful way and still pointing out that, hey, there's something extra special about those swing dance songs.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't hear them as much. And I just love that. And at the first time I listened to that song and I'm like, oh yeah, I love that. And I love that. And I love that artist. And I love that artist. And this is terrific. This is great. So anybody who loves Christmas music is really going to love this album because there's something on this for everybody. And I'm not just saying that because I'm stuck here on the podcast, I'm not just saying that. I really like it. That's why I asked you to come on. Is there anything about Christmas Is Real that I've missed or that you would want people to know about?
I would like to. So one of my favorite Christmas albums is by a fellow named George Winston. Mm-hmm. He's got a wonderful instrumental album called December. And my wife, when she plays in church, has a very similar style to George Winston. And I thought, hey, honey, can you write a song that evokes the image of snow? And so she improvised something. Did you want to talk a little bit about that song? I think it's a very interesting song because it's an instrumental and it's very different than anything else on the album.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, David asked me to write something that conveyed images of snow. So I just immediately I thought in my head, I'm going to work with C minor. And I just started trailing down the C minor chord, put some chords together, and I came up with a 3-minute version. It's different every time I play it. It's an improvised piece, but it does have a bit of a theme to it that I follow each time. And then I could hear very much a cello. I love the piano guys. They're the inspiration for me. And I actually played cello back when I was in high school together with the piano that I play now. So we invited somebody that plays with the local Stratford theater and actually played for our wedding as well, a cellist, to come into the studio with me and work on some of the themes that I put in, and I provide some feedback, and then had some fun afterwards, just in a weekend, arranging it all together. And ta-da, we have the song Snow. And I'm also a dancer too. So I've had some fun in some of our local shows doing some ballet and some moves, like a lyrical piece, dancing to the sounds of snow.
So when you come to our show, you get to see her dance as well as play piano and everything else.
Yeah. So that's, you know, getting back to the different genres, I guess that would fall more into maybe the classical piece, or not sure, mood instrumental, but that gives a little extra variety as well. And a little bit of a break from the lyrics that you're going to hear.
And other than the cellist that you brought in for this, is Nancy Bodsworth the only other guest artist that you had on?
No, we had lots of guest artists, but we had Mike Jansen, who's one of Canada's best jazz pianists, plays on three of the pieces, and he actually arranged them. Nancy Bodsworth, we've been working together she's sung on several of my albums in the past. And so, yeah, it was an honor to have her sing with us. And she's just got such a great voice. She could sing. She's one of those people, the stereotypical can sing a phone book, right? So it was wonderful working with her.
Yeah, she has a beautiful Christmas album that she put out a few years ago.
That's correct. Yeah. So check that out as well, for sure.
Yeah. Credit where credit's due. I just wanted to make sure if there was anybody who you wanted to give a shout out to, I wanted to make sure that they got their credit anyway. You had mentioned about getting to see April dance as well as perform at upcoming shows. Do you have some upcoming Christmas shows?
And we're just finishing up this weekend. We've done 6 shows, and it's been a lot of fun. We're refining these shows as we go. It's a very different experience. I think through the pandemic, what's happened to a lot of musicians is that a lot of venues are very reticent to hire full bands because it's expensive. You're talking about $2,000 or $3,000 to bring in somebody. And my day job, I'm an engineer. I teach electrical and computer engineering. So I'm basically a nerd. And then what I did was I'd use technology to solve my problem. So if people couldn't afford a full band, then it's just April and myself. And actually I run the entire show off a single laptop. The lights, the videos, the sound, everything comes off of one single laptop. And it's a multimedia show, and it's a lot of fun. And the videos are all videos that I've created. There's a unique video for every single song.
And I saw there's sort of like a sample of some of the multimedia stuff that you do at the shows that's on your YouTube channel. Any chance that any of the performances were captured live that we'll see video or hear live performances?
Possibly. We're going to
see video, some folks videotaping. So whether or not we can grab some pieces of that and put it up, we could ask.
Yeah. But we might record a few of our last shows just to give people a sample. But we also want to, you know, make sure that we don't record the whole thing. And then, you know, people will go, okay, I've seen the show. I don't want it to come up now. Yeah, we'll put together a teaser. So I'm pretty sure we'll have something up on our website soon to just highlight kind of the unique aspects of our show.
So with Christmas is Real out there now and the last show's winding down, what's up for Critical Mass in 2024?
It's going to be a really interesting year. So we're going to further tour our Serenity album, which is the one about divorce and separation. We're working with partners to bring that into places where people are really hurting. We're working with counseling agencies. So we're going to be doing a lot of that. Some of them may be smaller concerts, but it's really to help that segment of the population who are really struggling. And we're also going to be doing some more focused concerts on mental health, which I think a lot of people are still going through. Like I said, we're looking at expanding and creating a musical. We're almost there in terms of the script and the music itself, which is something I've never done before. It's a whole new world for us. And then we want to basically incorporate and improve our shows because we want to create the best possible concert experience for our audience.
So you had mentioned that it was almost a 20-year journey to get the Christmas album together and done. So forgive me for asking, but I do have this Christmas music problem. Is there more Christmas music on the horizon? Anything in planning stage?
We've talked about it.
We've
gotten a really good response to this one. And yeah,
it's
I think
a lot of fun, actually. And I think there's more fun to come out of that. This one, you know, we just wrapped up right before the Christmas season. So I think we'll ride the wave on that for a little bit. And then I don't know myself, I'm open for the future.
Yeah. The only thing is that, as my band Critical Mass has always done, we don't want to do the same old. So whatever we do, it's going to have twists and turns, and we don't want it to sound like what's out there already.
So it won't be Christmas is Real too.
No, we might actually even just change things up. Maybe how we record it. I've always wanted to do something that's more raw and acoustic. So maybe we'll figure out a way to do something that's a little bit different, but a little bit more intimate. Like you're sitting in a club. That would be kind of cool to do. But then picking songs that you would think, oh, that wouldn't be a song I would expect to do in that style.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. What is the best way for people to keep up with you guys? Is it the website, social media?
Right now, the website, criticalmassmusic.org. You can come to our website, and you can, if you just search on any streaming platform, Critical Mass Christmas is Real, our album should pop up, and or Critical Mass Serenity, and that's our previous album, which we're still riding the waves of, and we'll still be touring that album come the summer. So those are the two that's probably easiest to it's probably easiest to get in touch with us and listen to our music through those sources.
Okay. I'll put a link to your website down in the show notes as well, so everybody who's listening can just click on that and head on over and check you guys out, see if you're still playing somewhere that they can go to, download your music, buy CDs, buy everything else right from the artist. That's something I have to, I feel like I need to repeat that often until people really start doing it, or there won't be a Christmas is Real too.
So that's right.
It has been so much fun talking to you guys. Thank you so much. And I hope you both have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Yes, you too.
And I want to say, Ken, I think your show should be on everybody's computer because I love it. It's amazing, the variety. You have a passion for this, obviously, and it comes through, and we both love what we're hearing.
Yeah, we'll be spreading the word.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks, you too. And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream our podcast. So you can find your favorite, click on over, subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.